It is that time. Happy Friday here on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful people. No matter where you are, in Nashville, all across Middle Tennessee, wherever it is that you're streaming, 104.5 The Zone, we welcome you in. We are streaming, of course, all over the social platforms as well, at 104.5 The Zone, on Twitter, on Facebook Live, on Periscope. Or I said Periscope, didn't I? On YouTube and on Twitch TV, everywhere. If you want to hang out with the show, we are live and in person here with you, the Coach Mac bobblehead, leering over my, what is that, my right shoulder? Mac will be with us later on for some draft conversation. Of course, we'll be talking about edge players today in the draft in our weekly Coach Mac draft talk installment. Nashville SC. Their general manager, Mike Jacobs, is going to join us coming up next because they open their season tomorrow. Very, very exciting stuff at Nissan Stadium. So we'll get into a little soccer talk. I'm curious to know how many people in the audience are invested. You have a winning team with Nashville SC coming off their first MLS season. And I'm curious because for me, and we'll spend a little time on this later on, but for me, everything kind of got lost in football season. Last year, like for me, because of the COVID pause, you had all of the excitement about the opener, and then things kind of went off the rails to where it's dropped in the middle of the NFL season. I'm working, I'm paying attention to the Titans because that's my primary function, and most people are paying attention to the Titans over an MLS team. That's just, you know, where your attention naturally gravitates towards. But they did something really, really impressive in finding themselves last year, you know, winning a couple of postseason games, ending up in the Eastern Conference semifinal. So we'll talk to Mike Jacobs coming up next. We'll get your opinions on Nashville SC, Titans PA updates. Lucas, what is the status of the video as we await? We have seen the video of your competition, your primary competition. Lucas is among, by the way, if you haven't been paying attention, good morning, Lucas is here. I am here, Buck Rising, with you. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. So Lucas is auditioning to be the voice of Nissan Stadium. The Titans are doing this American Idol style because it is the season that everybody needs content. And so they're doing something smart with it. They're publicizing it out on social media. So they've been releasing these audition tapes. And I think day one and day two are already out there. There's 20 second round candidates that got a callback audition to like actually go through the script, do it on a mic in Nissan Stadium with the music, with some atmosphere elements to it. Then they were judged by a panelist. So we have Lucas's competition, whom I believe to be the most stiff phrasing competition, Chris Freeman, who is apparently a public address announcer of great renown. We have had people call in advocating for Chris Freeman. I have seen Chris Freeman's video. I have heard many things about Chris Freeman as both a professional and a person. And it makes us very, very difficult for us to bash him, but we got to go to bat for our boy. He could be the best person in the world. It sounds by many accounts that Chris Freeman is. But Lucas is going to be the next voice of Nissan Stadium, and I don't know what I'm going to do if that doesn't end up happening. Good morning, Lucas.
Good morning. Still awaiting the new video from the Titans highlighting day two of the auditions, which is the day I was a part of.
Yeah. So we'll keep an eye out on that. You'll hear Chris Freeman's audition, and we'll see how he stacks up against Lucas's once we get our hands on the tape. We are also going to spend some time talking about the NFL draft. Edge class needs, obviously, that's what we'll spend on with Coach Mack, as we discussed. But Todd McShay has a draft needs, you know, 32-team rundown that he put out on ESPN Plus this morning. And the order in which he has prioritized the needs for the Titans, I found interesting. Lucas found interesting. So we're going to talk about that over the course of the show. By the way, congrats to Renia Davis going in last night's WNBA draft. Big stuff. Fell a little further than I thought she would. I think that was a surprise to many people who had seen her play over the course of the season. But congratulations due nonetheless. Let's start here, though. Oh, by the way. There is going to be some really, really good Chris Mad Dog Russo sound. If you know anything about sports talk radio, I don't know. I don't have to say more than that. Lucas, do we have that? I don't want to go to it here. We're live producing the show right now, but do we have that in our arsenal for me to call upon Mad Dog at my disposal? Okay, very good. So let's start here, though, because speaking of Nissan Stadium, speaking of Nashville SC getting their season started tomorrow at Nissan Stadium put out, or Titans PR put out, a press release on behalf of Nissan Stadium that I wanted to get to yesterday, but we kind of got lost in the shuffle. Nissan Stadium announced, this according to the media release that they sent out yesterday, Nissan Stadium announced that it has transitioned to a cashless payment facility beginning tomorrow with Nashville SC's season opener. The transition is expected to allow for faster payment transactions and emphasizes the facility's commitment to a more contactless experience through its Safe Stadium plan. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but I feel like, at least on the terrestrial radio audience, now we're obviously on podcasts, we're live streaming across the social platforms, we're in your app, you're live streaming it on the website, wherever it is, right? It's not just specialized radio to the terrestrial radio audience, but I feel like people listening to their cars are hearing that and be like, what the hell, why? I can't pay with a five? I mean, now like a beer is costing more than $5, like you're going to need probably a 20 to go in there and do any kind of damage at the concession stand under normal circumstances. But I feel like a lot of people are going to be caught off guard by this. And I don't, do you carry cash? I don't carry cash.
Almost never.
Right? The only reason, by the way, do you have the fine bucket back there? Did the fine bucket make it through the night without being stolen?
Fine bucket made it through the night.
Okay. So we have a fine system, by the way. Nobody has yet been fined. I was not late to the show. In fact, I beat Lucas to the station.
You did.
Today.
You did beat me.
You still owe a dollar. Did you put a dollar in the fine bucket?
No, because I don't carry cash, okay. But I do owe a dollar.
Well, another fine. If we are fined and we are not carrying cash, fine. I think that's fair.
I've got some coins in my car. I could probably scrounge together a dollar.
Well, you better move faster in the commercial break. You owe a dollar, buddy. 615-737-1045. Of course, we have the fine system. Everything is in place here on a Friday. Full send Friday on 104.5 The Zone. So the cashless facility situation, obviously there are benefits because of the pandemic. Obviously that makes sense because we're all trying to touch things less, right? You're carrying around hand sanitizer in ways that you never did before. We probably should be, but you know. Cashless facility, though, it's going to trend that way where I don't know how many people are using Apple Pay. Like, I'm comfortable using Apple Pay. I'm comfortable using my phone. Now, not everybody is comfortable hooking their credit card or their debit card, their bank account, up to their phone because, right, something's going to get hacked and then we're all going to go to hell. But, like, I'm 27. I don't care about these things. All right, I don't have the presence of mind to care about these things. So I pay with everything on my phone. The one time that I had cash was yesterday, because I knew that we were going to bring the fine bucket into the studio and that I was going to have to pay not one fine, but two, because I was late to the show and I blamed Lucas for something that was my fault. Those are fines. By the way, if you want to institute fines for us, you can do so. 615-737-1045. Corey W. Terrell on Facebook Live is watching with us now. Zone 104.5, The Zone TV, live and in person. Across all of the shows now, I do believe. You saw Rhett Bryan and Ramon Foster this morning. See Blaine and Mickey after me. You see Brent and Dawn on 3HL afterwards. Dawn Davenport, by the way, Lucas, furious with me for moving the casting couch out from behind me because we put it behind her.
Yeah, we did. I didn't even put that together when we did that.
Yeah, I didn't think it. Well, Will Bowling's not here to defend himself, but it was Will's fault. He told me to put it there. I wanted to throw it in the trash.
That's just where there's room. It's a comfy couch.
Yeah, but it's dirty.
That's also where Brent Doherty lounges when he comes in during Blaine and Mickey to get ready for 3HL.
Speaking of things that are unsanitary, 615-737-1045 is how you jump in. Corey Terrell says, hey, don't count me out as well. I am coming for the job. Also, the Nissan Stadium, the voice of Nissan Stadium job. So Corey is one of the people competing. I'm one of the semifinalists. I am coming for the job. Also, don't count me out. Well, Corey, it's not that we're counting you out. We're just actively rooting against you.
Right.
Yeah, it's nothing personal, bud.
Nothing personal. I just, every hope that you have for this audition, I want it to fail miserably.
Yes. Yes. We are coming for your throat, literally. Corey, we appreciate the comments. If you want to file in on the comments, Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV. We are live and in person on 104.5 The Zone TV. Bill, but if you want to be traditional, you can call in because Bill is calling in about something that is going from traditional to non-traditional with Nissan Stadium becoming a cashless facility. Bill, what's going on, my brother?
Hey, guys. Morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, sir. There is absolutely no data, no science, and they've just, CDC just come out from touching stuff. People are all, people have lost their mind. You cannot get corona by touching a countertop, okay? It does not, it's not, you're not going to do it.
Yeah, no, so Bill, I was watching that same thing from the CDC where they basically said, because, you know, I've been going, it's not been overtly recommended to go to places like gyms, but my gym is safely, socially distanced, putting these things into place. And for so much of that, like when you use the equipment, you constantly wipe it down. You wipe it down before you use the equipment. You wipe it down after you use the equipment.
And regardless of coronavirus,
oh, sure,
that's just proper gym etiquette.
You were doing that anyway, but like the CDC came out, because what Bill is saying is absolutely factual. There is a much, much, much smaller percentage chance that you can contract coronavirus infection by touching a surface. Like the excessive sanitation. Now, I would prefer to err on the side of excessive sanitation than not sanitizing, but that's just, you know, in general. What Bill is saying there is absolutely factual. Bill, you still with us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm just saying there's no documented cases of anybody getting it from touching a countertop. But just back to the whole cash thing.
Sure.
Yes, I don't carry much cash. I do carry little cash. But when you go to Nissan Stadium, yeah, you need to carry $400 or $500 in there if you're going to do anything, especially take your kids or go to the concession stand, because everything is, you know, a $5 bottle of water, which is ridiculous. But to back to the main point, you should take cash. You should take cards. I mean, we've lost our mind here. I mean, come on, man. Take cash.
Well, they're just not going to do it. But I appreciate the call, Bill. 615-737-1045. I just read. Okay. Now, Caleb, I'm going to trust you. You guys can't see the call screener that I have. I have on one of the, literally we counted them yesterday, I have 9 monitors in front of me now. I'm going to get some kind of radiation sickness from all of the screens that are in front of my face. But one of these screens is a call screener. And all it says on the call screener is most money has been with strippers. That's from Caleb in the borough. Caleb, defend your answer.
Am I wrong, though?
I don't think so.
That, if you look down at your money and you don't think it's been somewhere, then that's your own problem.
That's totally realistic. I mean, and thank you for, is that all you had, Caleb?
That is all I had.
I respect that. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, it's just a numbers game. It's just statistics.
I mean, well, you know, if you want to talk about places that can't go cashless, what are you going to have exotic dancers do? Give out their Venmo information? That's a great lead-in for Mike Jacobs, general manager of Nashville SC. He's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. I don't know if it's for Africa, but it's for the soccer fan. MLS is back, baby. Starting today, MLS's season gets going. Nashville SC, though, they are at Nissan Stadium tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m., hosting FC Cincinnati. So we bring on Mike Jacobs, general manager for Nashville SC, kind enough to give us some time. What's going on, Mike? We appreciate you you making the time for us this morning. Happy soccer season.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No question. We've been talking about this this morning, Mike, about Nissan Stadium going to a cashless facility. Do you carry cash?
I always carry kind of some for rainy day.
Okay.
But I haven't used it probably about 6 months.
That's what I'm saying. Like people are making like a little bit of a deal out of this, but I'm trying to think of the last time that I paid for anything in cash and it escapes me. But nonetheless, Nissan Stadium is where you're going to want to be on Saturday night to see Nashville SC get their second MLS season going. So obviously I've seen the pictures coming out. Media was allowed to tour the new stadium site south of downtown here in Nashville. I'm sure you've seen it a great many times at this point, but how excited are you with the progress that you've seen for the new stadium site? And I don't want to say how excited are you to get in there, because obviously I'm sure you're excited, but just based on the progress that you've seen so far.
It's a dream to think about having our own venue and to see the vision of what this was going to look like. It'll be like no stadium in Major League Soccer in our country, and not just because it's the largest soccer-specific venue in MLS, but just the way it looks, the aesthetics, the fan experience, it's going to be special for everybody.
Without question. I'm very, very excited to see the setup. I've never been to an MLS game myself, given that, you know, obviously outside of the initial opening game for you guys at Nissan Stadium, the COVID pause really affected all of that. And because my full-time job is Tennessee Titans reporter, that happened all in the middle of the NFL season, so things got away from me. But certainly excited to see you guys get it going tomorrow against FC Cincinnati. With the success that you guys had last year, Mike, I think if anybody objectively would have looked at a new MLS club coming into MLS and said, if they are even in the conversation for the postseason in their first MLS season, you would have to consider that a success. And then you guys find yourself in the Eastern Conference semifinal in your first season. So I think the obvious question becomes for fans who are, you know, wanting to see a winner, obviously here in Nashville, and you guys have delivered on that. Where do you go from here? How do you build upon that success and try to find sustainability, understanding that it's difficult to do from season to season?
Well, a big thing for us is the expectations that we have and, you know, what we have in the locker room. I mean, I've never been around a coach or a player who didn't want to win every game they play, you know, so to set expectations of pursuing a championship, I mean, everyone feels that way, you know, so I feel almost naive to say that as a goal. You know, what I would say, I think, the foundation of this club is about trying to keep building off of what we're doing and to build something that's sustainable, you know, for all of our fans. The idea of having a team year in and year out that can compete for a playoff position, you know, once you get in the playoffs, you know, an hour sport, you know, it's like Russian roulette. It's a one-off game. It's not a best of five or best of seven series. So if we can be in a situation where year after year, we're somewhere around that line, you know, to either be right above it to get into the playoffs. You know, we obviously don't want to fall short, but I think if year in and year out, we're a team that's pursuing playoff spots and putting us in a position to be in that tournament, you know, for that Russian roulette, I mean, I think then we've been a success.
That's all you can ask for. Mike Jacobs, general manager of Nashville SC, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. So with that in mind, how much of this offseason's roster construction was kind of done around or with in mind the potential for national team call-ups?
So this offseason, you know, heading into this 21 season, it's the unique season we've ever had. And you think about how challenging it was to have an expansion season during a global pandemic through two tornadoes. You know, it doesn't get any easier from the standpoint that because of what happened during this pandemic, you'll have in the same calendar year, you'll have World Cup qualifying, you'll have Gold Cup, which is the North American, Central American, Caribbean Championship, the European Championship, the South American Championship, all going on at the same time, as well as Olympic qualifying, which you know, just finished in our part of the world. And, you know, the idea of having players going away for international duty, it's this catch-22 because, you know, if your team is really good in our sport, your players being asked to represent their countries. So if we want to be the kind of team that everyone aspires to be and the team that's competing for championships, the reality is that our players will get identified by their national team programs and have a chance to represent their country as well. And, you know, for us to be able to compete along with the opportunity of our players representing their country, we have to have the kind of depth where you can absorb the loss of a player or players, not just, you know, for a game at a given time, but, you know, you think about Gold Cup, which is the North Central American Caribbean Championships, you know, that takes place over a month. You know, so when you think about players in our team that come from countries like the United States, Canada, Costa Rica, Panama, you know, we could not only be missing players for about a month, but key players. So to absorb something like that, you've got to have good enough depth.
Mike, with that in mind and keeping in mind also the signings that you made in the offseason, guys that can make an impact in the final third, winger Rodrigo Pinheiro, a young player from Uruguay, an MLS veteran striker in CJ Sapong that scored everywhere he's been. What was the most pointed objective of this offseason when you look to add to this team?
Look, last season, we had a record-setting performance for an expansion team defensively. The fact that we conceded so few goals in the first season for an MLS club. But for us, the hope is that where we have continuity, that same group coming back, and you obviously aspire to kind of match some of those performances, you know, what we had last year, you know, we need to be in a situation where we can create and finish scoring chances more frequently. And, And you saw a flash of that at the end of last season, you know, after October 14th, once we had Yonder Cadiz in the team, you know, having each of our designated players in Cadiz, Hani Mukhtar, Randall Leal on the field at the same time. You know, we were, I believe from October 14th on, we were fourth in MLS in goals per game. I think we were third in MLS in total goals. You know, it shows that the personnel we have is capable of creating and finishing scoring chances. But to be able to do it consistently, to be able to add guys like Cadiz and Hanwala Bawana, the reality is, in a normal year, the international window would have been closed when we did deals for both of those guys. So the reality is, where they did play sparingly toward the end of last season, those really were deals for this year. In a lot of ways, you know, they're kind of 2021 players, you know, like new signings. So to have those guys kind of add in this group with a full preseason, to add in the likes of CJ Sapong and Rodrigo Pinero, you know, the hope for us is that Gary has more weapons and more competition, you know, in that front four and in the final third to help us, you know, be more consistent in creating and finishing scoring chances.
Nashville SC General Manager Mike Jacobs is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. To that point, you guys did extend Gary Smith through 2023, having obvious success in your first MLS season. What can you say about the job that Coach Smith has done for you so far and kind of guiding you through this Nashville SC experience?
Gary had a tremendous season last year. And, you know, anytime you are a first-year group, anytime when you look at a team that maybe is shorthanded in some regards compared to other teams, when you look at maybe it's the lack of experience our team has together compared to other teams, maybe it's the money spent in some regards compared to other teams. You know, in a lot of ways, you know, there's occasions where your best player has to be your coach. And I think through most of last season, that was the case. So, you know, for Gary to have done as well as he had, not just last year, but really throughout his career, you know, he's a proven winner from the standpoint that he'd won an MLS Cup previously in Colorado. And, you know, for us, it was important to have a leader with our team on the field that had been there and done that. And, you know, the continuity that Gary gives us, I think, helps us not only to, you know, to be, you know, competitive this next season, but as I mentioned earlier, for our overall goal of sustaining success, you know, he's the right guy to lead us into that process.
And that's a rare thing in this league, right? That continuity, having the same manager from USL to MLS. And when you look back to last season, the highs and lows, Mike, of being out of the MLS's back tournament and then turning around in the fall and making a run to the Eastern Conference semifinals, how crucial is that continuity that Gary brought to kind of keep things together, especially through that tough time, through the pandemic when you were not able to play down in Orlando?
Well, look, as far as the experience from USL to MLS, you know, Gary and I had a chance to work together for 2 years prior to us working here in MLS. But, you know, the reality is that those were also two different franchises. You know, so it's not like our club moved from the USL to MLS. You know, you had some staff and a couple of players, you know, who transitioned from one to the other. But, you know, the idea of the continuity is so important because in any sport, when you see the teams that have the same kind of leadership year after year, whether it's on the field or off the field, you know, that kind of continuity, you know, it brings consistency. Consistency in decision-making, consistency in vision, you know, the idea of having, you know, that helps create this foundation of perseverance, of dealing with adversity. And you think what this group had to go through last year, I mean, there's no question that kind of strength and fortitude in our foundation made us a better team.
Mike Jacobs of Nashville SC is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. They get their season started tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium against FC Cincinnati. Mike, what for the general Nashville sports fan who may have been unaware that you guys were starting your season tomorrow, who may be unaware that MLS has begun their season or will begin their season tonight, what can you kind of tell them to expect if they come to a Nashville SC game or if they come to their first MLS game now that it's here in Music City?
Well, the first time I attended a Preds game and I was asked about it by a friend, I said it was like going to a soccer match abroad indoors. And yeah. I mentioned that because of the passion and energy that happened by the fans in the arena. Everyone wearing the same shirts, everyone chanting the same chants. You know, it created a home field advantage. In our sport, you know, soccer is very tribal. You know, the fact that you are representing your town and your community, the fact that it's a global game, it's a world's game, right? You know, so you know, people would ask me, well, when is soccer going to make it here in America? Soccer's been making it here for a long time in America. You know, it's just, you know, only now you're starting to see it in venues where you're filling places like Nissan, like last year we had 60,000 fans. You know, the reality is, you know, coming to a Nashville SC game, you're going to see that this is a vibrant kind of energy that like Nashvillians are used to seeing, like at Bridgestone Arena, but you're going to see in a larger venue.
It's going to be exciting stuff. You're going to want to make sure that you're a part of it tomorrow night when things get going for Nashville SC. Mike Jacobs, general manager, has been kind enough to give us some of his time this morning. Mike, great continued success throughout the course of this season. Good luck tomorrow night to you and your squad, and we'll certainly be watching. Appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Mike Jacobs, general manager for Nashville SC, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. How invested are you? That is the question that I think the general sports fan in Nashville is asking themselves or talking about amongst their friends. Like, people are going, there are obviously passionate soccer fans here in Middle Tennessee, whether you're an EPL fan or a smaller pool probably of MLS fans, because obviously the EPL clubs, La Liga, things like that, much, much larger scale, much, much bigger superstars. But now you have a local team. You have a local team that maybe not Atlanta United success in their first season, but they made it to the postseason. They made it and advanced, won several postseason games. Is this enough to get you more invested than you otherwise would be? I'd be curious to see what people have to say. 615-737-1045. Lucas, you're obviously going to err on the side of more investment than less. You have a great amount of love for the beautiful game, for soccer. I'm somebody who wants to be a participant. Has, you know, one of my best friends in high school won a national championship with Notre Dame, playing college soccer and plays for the Tampa Bay Rowdy. So I try to follow it as closely as I can. But I guess what from a fan's perspective, not to pigeonhole you as a fan, but as a fan, what are you kind of most excited about with where this club is right now?
I mean, that's hard to pinpoint right now because going into last year,
it shouldn't be.
Well,
should it?
Well, no, but I think that's a good thing to pinpoint what I'm most excited about. Am I most excited about the new stadium that's coming for Nashville Soccer Club, or the growth and excitement and the environment that it has shown it can provide at a Nashville Soccer Club game? Or am I most excited about the on-field product and the foundation that Mike Jacobs has built that has sort of differed from other expansion teams? You compare it to Inter Miami last year, David Beckham's club down in Miami. What Nashville SC did was the antithesis of what Miami did in trying to bring in flash and celebrity and speed, try to put people in the seats. Nashville took a moneyball approach to soccer where they went from the back up, and now you're starting to see them add attacking options. Pinheiro, the winger from Uruguay. We mentioned CJ Sapong, Yonder Cadiz from last year. The floor was, they started with a high floor with the way they built this team. So I think I'm most excited about the on-field product, but that's just the soccer fan in me. Some people may be most excited about being able to fill out a stadium again, because that season opener last year against Atlanta, it was surreal. That is the only word I can use to describe it. It was surreal. I never thought in my lifetime that kind of soccer environment would be in a town that I live in here in the Southeast, the town that I was born in. It was surreal. And just for them to be able to get back to some level of that is incredibly exciting, I think, for the average soccer fan.
So how unfair is the label for Nashville SC of being just a defensive team? That's something that you asked Mike Jacobs, and I thought he gave you a pretty nuanced answer. But, like, how unfair is that label? Are people just not paying attention to what Nashville SC, the kind of chances that they're getting in front of goal? Like, what? How can you kind of break that down in a way for people to better understand what that means?
It's a foundation. I mean, that's the best way to describe the way this team has built. This team was a foundation where they raised the floor, and the numbers, I mean, he gave you some of the numbers, so I don't need to rehash them, but the numbers show you that that's not exactly the case. And this team has positioned itself to where it's going to grind out a lot of 1-0, 2-1 type of victories, maybe some scoreless draws that we saw a couple of times last season, but they're also capable of being in a 3-2 game like the regular season finale in Orlando last year that stamped their ticket into the postseason. They're capable of playing an exciting brand of soccer, and a lot of that depends on the opponent and how that matches up. But, and again, I think we're talking a lot about in the scope of the average soccer fan in Nashville, right?
Well, yeah, I want to keep it like, here's what I'm trying to do this morning, okay? I want people to be excited about their local teams. I want people to be excited about Major League Soccer here in Nashville. But I also don't want to alienate people who are going to come in with preconceived notions about the game of soccer, about Major League Soccer, whether it's in opposition or in juxtaposition of EPL or something like that. Obviously, a higher level, a higher caliber of player. I want to be able to discuss this. I'm trying to find the best way to discuss this without making people being like, "Eh, it's not football. What do I care?" You know what I'm saying?
Right. The best way to describe it for people is that it is an extremely efficient brand of soccer, and there is creativity within this team. In MLS, the way it works is you get three designated players that you can pay above the salary cap, so to speak, that you can pay a certain amount. One of those players is Hani Mukhtar, a German who came in as a creative attacking midfielder, and he's a guy that can become a star in this town. Walker Zimmerman has kind of been the face of this franchise. He's the MLS Defender of the Year. A lot of people look to U.S. national team impact. That's your guy, if that's the direction you want to look to in Walker Zimmerman. So there's a lot of different ways to attract the casual soccer fan in Nashville. And if you are a soccer fan, you've been following a Premier League team for a long time, and you like an efficient brand of soccer that will come to good results. They've shown that last season. They can put out good results, whether it's a draw or a 2-1 win or a 3-2 win. They can play any type of way, and they've proven that. And the continuity with Gary Smith, I think there's a lot of positive things to come for Nashville Soccer Club. But at this point, it's about the expectation, right? Because you were in the Eastern Conference semifinal in your first year as an MLS club. Is it fair for that to be the expectation in year two? I think that's a big question.
Are you in or out on Nashville SC? How invested are you? 615-737-1045. We put it to a poll at Buck Rising on Twitter. We would like your participation, whether it's on Facebook Live, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch TV, on the phones. You guys can interact with us in any variety of ways. We welcome your commentary. How invested are you in Nashville SC's second MLS season? 41% of the audience right now leading the vote, extremely invested, 24% a little, 35% none at all. We will get into that and more. An update on Lucas Panzeca's public address announcer sweepstakes, I guess is what we should call it. All that and more. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Breaking news on a Friday. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. So we called an audible. Well, we didn't just call an audible. We phoned a friend. Because John Fulkerson, the sixth year, seventh year, eighth year, ninth year, however the hell long John Fulkerson has been at the University of Tennessee. But the guy who seems to be the heart and soul of this particular basketball program right now has announced on social media that he is returning. So what we did is we're going to phone a friend. Ron Slay has already been put to work this morning. I hear that he's going to be doing all 3 hours of 3HL as well. Slay, the hardest working man in show business, joins us now on 104.5 The Zone. Do you not have a key card yet to the building? Because for as much as they ask you to come in here, you should.
I should, Buck. They must want to keep testing my athleticism and see me scale the fence. So I'll keep showing my athleticism off, if that's the case.
That is what happened this morning. Slay just crawled through this window in the control room like, "Morning, Ron."
You can't keep him out. That's why you got to lock the door. That's how it goes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ron Slay, host of the Boom Boom Room, here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Volunteer basketball. Great. All right. Slay, I know that you are excited about the news. Help me understand from his perspective, John Fulkerson's perspective, why the hell he thinks it's a good idea to come back.
Okay, for me, Buck, this is what I'm thinking. If I'm Fulke and I'm in his shoes, I honestly can help myself. If I want to play professionally, I can help myself make more money by coming back to school. Reason being, I have a point guard coming in that I missed last year that can spoon feed me 12 to 14 points. Where people expected me to average 16 to 18 points last year by just getting it and going, now I got a guy that I can fit right back in my mold, being an energy guy running the court, cleaning up stuff and getting drop offs and finishing around the rim and not expecting. And that's when I really thrive. Therefore, my numbers will show that I can get the job done just with the point guard. Also, with him coming back, this man has just solidified himself as they might take the torchbearer down and put Fulke up there in front of Thompson Bowling Arena. So to let it be known, man, this is a house that he helped remodel, because along the likes of Chris Winkie, he's got to be the only other guy to play college basketball this old. So I love it.
That's what I'm saying. He's like a year younger than me at this point, Slay. Like this man, that's really the only reason why I ask you that question, because obviously it's been a fantastic week for the Vols in the front court, given the new additions that Rick Barnes has recruited and have committed to the University of Tennessee, now with Fulkerson coming back. I understand why fans love it, but I just look at him, and you've made the case for how he can help himself make more money. I just think there are so many variables that go into that, Slay, whereas he's 24 years old right now. He can have the ability to go make money playing professional basketball in some form or fashion overseas, more likely than not. Is it worth the risk? And you've just made a compelling case, so I understand how you feel about it. I'm just looking at it from my standpoint and saying, is it worth the risk for him?
In this situation, I believe so. And I think a guy like him, Buck, that is Tennessee bred and embodies everything that Tennessee is, he's a guy that didn't want to walk off the court, like he said in his video and his message to the fans.
Right.
He didn't want to walk off the court that way and be known as a guy that wasn't able to walk off on his own. Looking at it, this dude can come out there and lead and really, really do something special with this team, especially with all the weapons that he has. And also, Buck, if John Petty was a side in Alabama, in Tennessee side for I don't know how long, why can't Fulkie return the favor and be a thorn in the side of the SEC?
No, he is totally entitled to do so. There's pictures of him now scrolling and streaming in on my Twitter timeline, just this big, dopey, shaggy-haired individual smiling a big old grin because he's coming back home to Rocky Top. All right, Slay, I know you're going to have a lot to talk about it. I don't want to steal all of 3HL's thunder because you know that they're going to be locking the door when my man Ron Slay comes in here from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you having me on, but anytime I can get on with my man Buck, please get me in here.
We got to get you a key card first, otherwise you've been climbing through the windows and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Can't be having this. This man is too high of esteem to be doing such degenerate things trying to get into the radio studio. I believe that he probably tried to jump the fence this morning. Can you imagine? I'm trying to think. When's the last time you jumped a fence?
Last Saturday.
Really? What? Doing what? Now, wait. Before you self-incriminate, are you going to say anything that's going to harm your chances to become the next voice of Nissan Stadium? Think about it. Because I love you. Just like I called you yesterday before I put your relationship in jeopardy. I'm doing this service for you now.
Playing a drinking game.
Okay.
That's a normal thing for a 25-year-old man to do.
Jumping a fence, though?
I had to go get a Frisbee.
So it's a drinking Frisbee game. And let's not get distracted. Let's talk about Fulkerson, though, because this is huge. This is huge for Rick Barnes. It's obviously huge for feel good. But, like, on the court now, given all of the reasons that we discussed yesterday, Will Bowling is also here. So, Will, if you feel the need or if you have insights to provide on Tennessee basketball, feel free to do so. Making sure everything runs before I rip into him about something that he's done to annoy me. I'm sure it'll happen later on. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. Sorry, I feel myself apologizing every time I come after Will Bowling now. Anyway, what does this do to the University of Tennessee with the product that we can expect on the court now? Understanding that Rick Barnes has the big man that he needs, the uber-talented big man in the freshman that they've recruited and have had committed to the University of Tennessee, three commitments in the last three days now, if we're counting today, to bolster next year's roster. What does this do for the kind of flow that they're looking for on the court?
Well, you just added the number one power forward in the country.
Right.
You just added the number 11, I believe, small forward in the country, according to 247 Sports. I mean, the depth in the front court for Tennessee just did a total 180.
It definitely did. This is the most balanced team Rick Barnes has had, probably since that team that would have been 2018. That was number one in the country at one point. I think this team has more depth in the front court and the back court. And I think John Fulkerson has to become what he was with a better point guard. because he's now got somebody to force him the basketball. John Fulkerson is not a Grant Williams type that is going to sit on a low block and demand the ball down low.
Right.
He's got to have a point guard who forces him the ball down low. And a lot of that comes in transition, where he's one of the more athletic fives or fours in the SEC, even though he sometimes looks like Bambi on skates. He really is quite athletic.
Looks like a baby giraffe.
He does, but it works.
But it also does.
Like if I was out there and a lot taller and a lot better at basketball.
Okay, it does feel, not like you at all. What the hell is that?
It does feel relatively mental with him.
I'm all arms and legs and awkward, too. That's all I'm saying.
Go ahead, Luke.
It does feel relatively mental with him, too, because it felt like when he asserted himself late last season, he took over a game.
Right.
That's what he did against Florida back-to-back in the regular season finale and in the conference tournament game.
What he can't give you is the elite rebounding that Tennessee has had from a Grant Williams. An Admiral Schofield at the three was a better rebounder than John Fulkerson. You could argue Kyle Alexander was a pretty good rebounder. You've got Brandon Huntley Hatfield and Jonas Idu that are going to be able to help solve that for Tennessee, I think.
So, and it's clear for all the reasons that we've just stated about John Fulkerson, like it's clear he wants a different ending than the way that his season ended last year. It's super deflating. Obviously, you get a bow to the face during the SEC tournament.
By a Florida player.
By a Florida player. So, of course, that's going to hurt Vols, the Vols pride of anybody, fan, player, or otherwise. It's going to hurt you a little worse that Florida is the person who literally, or the team that literally ended your season if you're John Fulkerson, because he had, you know, facial fractures, basically, for how bad. I mean, he looked terrible when the camera would pan to him on the sideline. But so he's in a place now where he has the ability to, because of the COVID-19 allowances for guys to come back for an additional year of eligibility, he has the ability to help rewrite his story. And as we've stated, there's a lot more talent, there's a lot more balance, there's a lot more depth. Now there's a lot more expectations, though, because all we're going to sit here is hyper-focus on how much talent Rick Barnes has again, and then continue to hammer him over the head as we get closer to next year's NCAA tournament. Your record in March is. Now this is what Tennessee is going to have to live up to. And I understand why it's what, for all the reasons that you guys just talked about, all the reasons that Slay just came on here and talked about, I understand why it makes sense for him, both from a love of Tennessee. He's from Kingsport. Obviously, we all watch the end of season or the senior night video that the Vol Network put out from his appearance his speech basically to his teammates after the fact. And now this video that he's put out on his own Twitter account announcing his return, he wants to make a difference at the university that he cares the most about. And it is so critical, no matter how cliche it is in sports, for you to have somebody on your team that is invested in the program that way. The thing that we are invested, though, in as a show is the success of Lucas Panzeca. His competition has come to the forefront on a social media video that's being promoted by the Titans, and we will not stand for this, no matter how good a man that Chris Freeman is. You will hear Chris Freeman's audition to be the voice of Nissan Stadium, and we will see how we can sabotage it and make Lucas the guy that takes the job. Coming up next, I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.